At the time I had left the CDF, Rybicki had been my superior officer, but he and I went back before that. I met him on my first day of combat, back when he was a lieutenant colonel and I had been a private. He'd offhandedly called me son, as a reference to my youth. I was 75 at the time. This was one of the problems with the Colonial Defense Forces. All that body engineering they do really messes with your age sense. I was in my 90s. Jane, born an adult as part of the CDF Special Forces, was 16 or so. It can hurt your head if you think about it. "It's time you tell us why you're here, General," Jane said. 7 years of living with naturally occurring humans had not blunted her Special Forces-bred way of ramming through social courtesies and getting right to the point. Rybicki grinned wryly and tossed his sorghum to the ground. "All right," he said. "After you left the service, Perry, I got a promotion and a transfer. I'm with the Department of Colonization now, the folks who have the job of seeding and supporting new colonies." "You're still CDF," I said. "It's the green skin that gives you away. I thought the Colonial Union kept its civilian and military wings separate." "I'm the liaison," Rybicki said. "I get to keep things coordinated between the both of them. This is about as fun as you might think it is." "You have my sympathy," I said. "Thank you, Major," Rybicki said. It had been years since anyone referred to me by my rank. "I do appreciate it. The reason I'm here is because I was wondering if you, the two of you, would do a job for me."
"What kind of job?" Jane asked.
Rybicki looked over to Jane. "Lead a new colony," he said. Jane glanced over to me. I could tell she didn't like this idea already. "Isn't that what the Department of Colonization is for?" I asked. "It should be filled with all sorts of people whose job it is to lead colonies." "This time," Rybicki said, "this colony is different."
"How?"
Jane said. "The Colonial Union gets colonists from Earth," Rybicki said. "But over the last few years, the colonies, the established colonies like Phoenix and Elysium and Kyoto, have been pushing the CU to let their people form new colonies. Folks from those places have made the attempt before with wildcat colonies, but you know how those go." I nodded. Wildcat colonies were illegal and unauthorized. The CU turned a blind eye to wildcatters. The rationale was that the people who were in them would otherwise be causing trouble at home, so it was just as well to let them go. But a wildcat colony was well and truly on its own. Unless one of your colonists was the kid of someone high up in the government, the CDF wouldn't be coming when you called for help. The survival statistics for wildcat colonies were impressively grim. Most didn't last 6 months. Other colonizing species generally did them in. It wasn't a forgiving universe. Rybicki caught my acknowledgement and went on. "The CU would prefer the colonies keep to their own knitting, but it's become a political issue and the CU can't brush it off anymore. So the DOC suggested that we open up one planet for second-generation colonists. You can guess what happened then. The colonies started clawing each other's eyes out to be the one whose people got to colonize," I said. "Give the man a cigar," Rybicki said. "So the DOC tried to play Solomon by saying that each of the adjutants could contribute a limited number of colonists to the first wave colony. So now we have a seed colony of about 2,500 people, with 250 from 10 different colonies. But now we don't have anyone to lead them. None of the colonies want the other colonies' people in charge."
"There are more than 10 colonies," I said. "You could recruit your colony leaders from one of those."
"Theoretically, that would work," Rybicki said. "In the real universe, however, the other colonies are pissed off that they didn't get their people on the colony roster. We promised that if this colony works out, we'll entertain the idea of opening other worlds. But for now, it's a mess, and no one else is inclined to play along."
"Who was the idiot who suggested this plan in the first place?" Jane asked.
"As it happens, that idiot was me," Rybicki said.
"Well done," Jane said. I reflected on the fact it was a good thing she wasn't still in the military.
Thank you, Constable Sagan, General Rybicki said. I appreciate the candor. Clearly there were aspects of this plan I didn't expect, but then that's why I'm here.
The flaw with this plan of yours, aside from the fact that neither Jane nor I have the slightest idea how to run a seed colony, is that we're colonists now too, I said. We've been here for nearly 8 years.
But you said it yourself. You're former soldiers, Rybicki said. Former soldiers are a category all their own. You're not really from Huckleberry. You're from Earth, and she's former Special Forces, which means she's not from anywhere. No offense, he said to Jane.
Well, that still leaves the problem of neither of us having any experience running a seed colony, I said. When I was doing my public relations tour of the colonies way back when, I went to a seed colony on Orton. Those people never stopped working. You just don't throw people into that situation without training.
You have training, Rybicki said.
Both of you were officers. Christ, Perry, you were a major. You commanded a regiment of 3,000 soldiers across a battle group. That's larger than a seed colony.
A colony isn't a military regiment, I said.
No, it's not, Rybicki agreed.
But the same skills are required, and since you've been discharged, both of you have worked in colony administration. You're an ombudsman. You know how a colony government works and how to get things done. Your wife is the constable here and is responsible for maintaining order. Between the two of you, you have pretty much all the skills you'll need. I didn't just pull your names out of a hat, Major. These are the reasons I thought of you. You're about 85% ready to go as it is, and we'll get you the rest of the way there before the colonists head for Roanoke. That's the name we've chosen for the colony, he added.
We have a life here, Jane said. We have jobs and responsibilities, and we have a daughter who has her own life here as well. You're casually asking us to uproot ourselves to solve your little political crisis.
Well, I apologize about the casual part, Rybicki said. Normally, you would have gotten this request by colonial diplomatic courier along with a full load of documents, but as it happened, I was on Huckleberry for entirely different reasons and thought I would kill two birds with one stone. I honestly didn't expect I'd be pitching you this idea standing in the middle of a field of sorghum.
All right, Jane said.
And as for it being a little political crisis, you're wrong about that, Rybicki said. It's a medium-sized political crisis on its way to becoming a large one. This has become more than just another human colony. The local planetary governments and press have built this up as the biggest colonization event since humans first left Earth. It's not, trust me on that, but that fact doesn't really matter at this point. It's become a media circus and a political headache, and it's put the DOC on the defensive. This colony is getting away from us because so many others have a vested interest in it. We need to get on top of it again.
So it's all about politics, I said.
No, Rybicki said. You misunderstand me. The DOC doesn't need to get back on top of this because we're a county political coup. We need to get back on top of this because this is a human colony. You both know what it's like out there. Colonies live or die. Colonists live or die, based on how well we prepare and defend them. The DOC's job is to get the colonists as prepared as we can get them before they colonize. The CDF's job is to keep them safe until they get a foothold. If either side of that equation breaks down, that colony is screwed. Right now, the department side of the equation isn't working because we haven't provided the leadership, and everyone else is trying to keep anyone else from filling the vacuum. We're running out of time to make it work. Roanoke is going to happen. The question is whether we manage to do it right. If we don't, if Roanoke dies, is going to be hell to pay. So it's better that we do it right.
If this is such a political hot potato, I don't see why throwing us into the mix is going to help things, I said.
There's no guarantee anyone will be happy with us.
Like I said, I didn't just pull your names out of a hat, Rybicki said. Over at the department, we ran a slate of potential candidates that would work for us and would work for the CDF. We figured if the two of us could sign off on someone, we could make the colony governments accept them. You two were on the list.
Where on the list? Jane asked.
About halfway down, Rybicki said. Sorry, the other candidates didn't work out. Well, it's an honor just to be nominated, I said.
Rybicki grinned.
I never did like your sarcasm, Perry, he said. I understand I'm dropping a lot on you at once. I don't expect you to give me an answer now. I have all the documents here.
He tapped his temple, signifying he had stored the information in his brain pal.
So if you have a PDA I can send them to, you can take a look at them at your leisure. As long as your leisure is no longer than a standard week.
You're asking us to walk away from everything here, Jane said again.
Yes, Rybicki said. I am. And I'm appealing to your sense of duty, too, since I know you have one. The Colonial Union needs smart, capable, and experienced people to help us get this colony going. You two fit the bill. And what I'm asking of you is more important than what you're doing here. Your jobs here can be handled by others. You'll leave and someone else will come in and take your place. Maybe they won't be as good, but they'll be good enough. What I'm asking of you two for this colony isn't something that just anyone else could do. You said we were in the middle of your list, I said. It was a short list, Rybicki said to me. And there's a steep drop-off after you two. He turned back to Jane. Look, Sagan, I can see this is a tough sell for you. I'll make you a deal. This is going to be a seed colony. That means that the first wave gets in and spends 2 or 3 years preparing the place for the next wave. After the second wave comes in, things will probably be settled enough that if you want, you and Perry and your daughter can come back here. The DOC can make sure your house and jobs will be waiting for you. Hell, we'll even send someone to get in your crop.
Don't patronize me, General, Jane said.
I'm not, Rybicki said. The offer is genuine, Sagan. Your life here, every part of it, will be waiting for you. You won't lose any of it. But I need the two of you now. The DOC will make it worth your while. You'll get this life back. And you'll be making sure Roanoke Colony survives. Think about it. Just decide soon.